It's just about time to get our staff together, get them energized, and get them trained up as much as we can for the arrival of our campers. Who better to discuss the ins and outs of staff training 2023 than Roz and Jed Buck? This is the Day Camp Pod.
This is the Day Camp Pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com. A big thanks to our sponsors who make the Day Camp Pod possible.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists. Find purveyors of the best recreation solutions to keep camp going strong. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. AM Skyer is a leading insurance and strategic partner for many of the finest camps in America. AM Skyer partners with camps to provide public relations, legal, medical, behavior support, and more. Experience the AM Skyer difference. Learn more at amskyer.com.
Welcome back to the Day Camp Podcast. I'm Andy Pritikin, director of Liberty Lake in the Philly suburbs of New Jersey.
I'm Sam Thompson from Crystal Lake Park District, Crystal Lake, Illinois.
And back with us once again, the harbingers of the pandemic of 2020. Roz and Jed Buck, they were literally the last podcast that we did before we all went off to Tri-State Camp Conference and had a very awkward time and then entered a very strange world. But it was an awesome podcast, and I bet it had a lot of listens because people had a lot of time to listen to it.
Or people were a little busy dealing with something else and nobody listened to it.
They needed a distraction, Jed. They needed a distraction.
But we're back in very different times now. Very different times.
Yeah. And you guys are booming. You're all over the country. Like, you know, like this was the longest it took me to book a guest on the podcast, you know, because of their booked up schedule. But also because they got a grandbaby. Right. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a transition from being camp operators to being camp trainers as successful as this. Like, you guys are just doing a great job. And I just hear amazing things from everybody. Yeah.
No, for the Park District crew, you guys were a lifesaver because park districts are always looking for information that we're not getting. And you guys were perfect. So
we're very fortunate, and we did do a lot with the park districts in going into that summer of 2020 because they were essential and they were providing childcare for essential workers. So they were operating in a lot of cities, a lot of states, and we spent a lot of time online with them. It was really wonderful.
Yeah, it's awesome. I had lunch with Stephen Bernstein this past Wednesday, and he was touting you guys, saying, "I'm bringing them up twice to my camp." All right. God bless you, man. So,
well, actually, that's a nice thing. He's doing what a lot of people are doing now, really focusing on getting the leaders trained, you know, the leadership team focusing on that before even getting to the staff training.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about that on this podcast all season, that a lot of people have emerged into leadership roles over the last few years and haven't really been trained on how to be those middle management leaders. I think it's two different kinds of trainings, and bringing in, you know, people like you guys who have so much to offer to speak to your general population of staff is one thing. And then talking to your middle management about how to manage people is another thing, because, you know, we're talking about school teachers. They know how to manage classrooms. They don't necessarily know how to manage a classroom amount of adults or young adults.
Absolutely. You
know? Yeah. Absolutely.
Or it's a young adult that just grew into the position and they've never had to be on the other side. So,
yeah, going from, you know, being taken care of, being the camper that was focused on, to now being the one who is taking care of other people's children and needing to give that care and focus on those children.
And, or as you were saying, Andy, or Sam, the great counselor, the great general staff member who now is moving up to be a leadership position and is not only dealing with the challenges of leading for the first time, but if they're staying within the same organization, they're going from peer to supervisor, which is a tough leap sometimes.
Yep. It requires training. There's no doubt about it. You can't just cross your fingers on it. You know, I mean, we see it. We all see it as people that operate our own businesses. The people, these people who have been with you for a long time, whether it's full-timers or seasonal people, that you just can't assume because they've been here for a while that they can then get to the next level, because the next level, it requires direct reports and requires management skills, right? And just because you can do, just because you can make bagels doesn't mean that you can manage people who make bagels.
Yeah.
Right.
And bagels is right, because it happens in every business.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we always used to say in the radio business, the best salespeople are not the best sales managers. In fact, many times they're the worst sales managers because it's a different skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. And same thing with coaches, right? I mean, there's some of the best coaches out there are were not necessarily the best players themselves. Right.
We know plenty of great players who bombed as coaches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right. So we're all putting the final pieces together, or at least, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the schedule, the skeletons of our staff training and, you know, look, starting with the macro. Right. So, you know, we've been along this crazy journey since the pandemic. Right. And, you know, we went from just trying to not make sure nobody gets COVID to making sure that nobody's having a nervous breakdown to making sure that everybody feels equity. Right. And all that kind of thing. And now here we are in 2023. And so I'm just curious, if you had a blank slate for a camp right now and the time to deal with it, where would you start? Are we trying to inspire them? Are we trying to, do we want them to bond? Is that, you know, the important things? Do we want them to learn? Right. And I know it's all of that, but where do you guys see it starting? Where's the tip of the iceberg?
I think that one of the most important things is connection. And we like to say connection before content. So this idea of bringing, whether it's your leadership team first, and then your staff next, and then on the next level, when you get to camp, your campers and groups of campers, bringing that connection in and getting them connected before you do anything else, really establishing that connection before content, because everything we do is going to be more effective and more successful if we're a connected team of leaders, and then we're a connected staff team, and then ultimately we're a connected group of campers. So I think that connection piece is key. And I know some camps are doing it throughout the year. You know, Zoom has become a wonderful thing in the COVID days. Everybody got used to it. Everybody got comfortable with it. And some camps are doing that throughout the year just to start the connection before they even get to pre-camp training.
I think the other thing that we really try to focus on with our clients is to move as much of the administrative stuff out of your in-person staff training. Get the staff handbook and all of that stuff, as much of that done before you get to in-person training, so we don't have to sit there and read the staff manual as a group, which allows us to, when we're in person, focus on the things that we want to focus on when we're in person. The connection, like Roz said, the co-counselor dynamics is another big area that's, again, part of it is the challenges that you mentioned, Andy, but getting co-counselors not just on the same page, but on the same team, so that as the summer progresses and it gets more and more challenging, hopefully we can avoid those blow-ups that we all deal with in weeks 4 and 5 and 6. Hopefully we can be in a better position to avoid those. The other thing that we're really seeing a lot of is the inclusivity and making sure that camp is a safe space for everybody and everybody finds their place at camp, because that's one of the wonderful things about camp is you can be a totally different person at camp than you are during the year. And being able to deal with all those things with our staff in person is the best way to do that. So the more time we have to deal with that, the better off. We've yet to meet a day camp person who says, gee, I have too much time for staff orientation. I don't know what to do with it all.
Right.
Nobody's got enough time.
No.
So the more time we can focus on the important things, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah. You guys have been amazing in how you guys have embraced Zoom, you know, with your trainings and such. And I think that's a very, very important point, that if you can push all of the non-important face-to-face stuff onto online training or Zooms or whatever, then you can really maximize your time together with people. And, you know, my son was on a pod a few pods ago where he said, like, if you start your trainings off by handing out like staff manuals and paperwork and stuff like that, like you're just, it's like a suicide pill. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this with young people?
I did find a good online one that anybody could use. It's through the Department of Children and Family Services in Illinois, but it's called Welcoming All Children. So it's directly about inclusion for the kids. And they could take that at home before they come. It is a little bit longer course, but it really, if you've never dealt with children of non-neurotypical children, it's really good. So.
Yeah, I just want to bring up something, follow up on something that Roz was saying and Jed was going on about too, which is, you know, what we're talking about here, it's the same thing as counselors being in charge of their kids, right? We have counselors that come to us, you know, in the middle of summer. I don't understand. My kids aren't listening to me, right? And it's because they never did that connection thing. They never made it happen with the group where they forged that relationship that then they can teach the kids to do stuff. Then they can get the kids to listen to them. And you know, we're camp people and we know this. And yet we create these staff orientations where we're just turning on a freaking fire hose and saying, open your mouth, here it comes, you know, exactly. And we don't do all the other stuff. And my camp was a victim of it last year. We had all the stuff that we were so eager to teach everybody. And then the first day of camp was starting and the middle management people were like, we didn't really get enough time with our staff. Like, we really don't know our staff. And it took a few weeks for us to really get our footing because of our screw up during orientation of not dedicating that warm and fuzzy time, as some people would call it, you know, to it. And then there's also, you know, people who push back about that who are like, well, you know, I'm an introvert and I hate team building games. You know, but you know, and what do you guys say about that kind of stuff?
Well, what I would say about that is that camp requires.
I would say suck it up.
Roz, oh, yes.
I would put it a little differently than that my folks would tell you. Camp requires everyone at different points in time to step outside your comfort zone. And you might be an introvert, that's true. And you might not be that people person who gets out there and doing the woo-woo and doing the crazy. But sometimes, for the good of camp, I like to say, we need to step out of our comfort zone and do some of these things that aren't necessarily the most comfortable for us, but that we know are what's going to be best for our either our staff, our team, our group of campers, whatever it is. We have counselors who aren't real comfortable doing icebreakers and get to know you games and things like that. But when they understand why it's so important for their campers, that these are life skills that we're teaching campers. We're teaching campers how to make friends. It doesn't just happen, right? Everybody says, oh, kids make friends at camp, right? But it doesn't just happen. It is a life skill. And we, as the staff, need to teach that life skill, need to give them opportunities to practice getting to know people, asking questions, learning about people. That's how they make new friends. And so during staff training, we need to give experiential moments. And that's why we want to get the stuff like the staff manual and things like that out of staff training. So we can have the moments of, as we like to say, to do is to learn. We can have those moments of doing and learning and creating these teachable moments of how you show campers how to make friends, how you help make that happen, why, you know, why it's important to be a role model and what it is to be a role model as a staff member.
Yeah. I mean, it's the perfect environment to model it.
Exactly. Frankly.
And I think the other thing is that it needs to be a progression. And while I joke about suck it up, the other thing is, as we always say, you know, you don't start with, hi, I'm Jed. Nice to meet you. What's the biggest mistake you've made in your life? You don't start with that. You start with simple things and you get everybody comfortable and it becomes a progression. And that progression doesn't have to take 4 weeks, but you need to get people comfortable and you need to do icebreakers that have meaning behind them. Not just silly things, walking around, making a sound like an animal that doesn't really have a reason for being. And as Roz used the word why, and that's important to make sure that everybody understands why we're doing these things and to do things that don't make people feel uncomfortable. You can do team building activities. There's team building and there's team bonding, and you can do both of them in a way that people don't have to feel uncomfortable. doesn't mean that absolutely nobody will feel uncomfortable, but you can do it in a way where the vast majority of your staff will feel comfortable.
Well, at Nationals, you guys did a change activity for supervisory or leadership staff. Do you want to explain that one? I'm definitely stealing that one. That was quick, easy, and so impactful.
And we've had people who've stolen it already, and we've used that all over the place. We learned that from a friend of ours, Sardiq Love, many years ago when we first started getting into this. And we went, we still go to conferences ourselves to learn about staff training. And we learned this from Sardiq. And basically the concept is that you use the candy warheads, and we give everybody warheads and we talk about change. We talk about what's hard about change. We talk about why people are resistant to change. We talk about people who are, what are the characteristics of people who are successful with change and what good things can come out of change. And then we all pop a warhead into our mouth. And warheads, if you don't know what they are, they're a candy that starts out really sour. But if you stay with it, the inside of it is sugary. It gets sweet. And so we draw that analogy of persevering through the times that might be challenging to get to the sweet part in the middle. And that's what happens as you're working at camp. There are going to be times that are not going to be all fun and games or all sunshine and smiles, as we used to like to say. But you need to hang in there through those. You need to persevere through those. And if you do, you get to the fun part. You get to the great experiences with the campers. And it's a great analogy for what happened during the summer.
No, that's so true. And that, you know, that leads into the thing that, you know, Dr. G and others have been focusing on the last couple of years, which is resilience.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That this is a hard job, you know, and you know, I just interviewed a few people this week. And for the young people, I very often say, this will probably be the hardest job you ever have in your whole life. Plain and simple. Right. And if you can do this, you can do pretty much anything else. And, you know, people come to, no matter what you tell them, you know, during the interview and all that kind of stuff, they tend to come to staff orientation, think they're going to be just like outside having a great time. You know, and it becomes a shock if you don't give them a reality check and sort of explain and give them some situations and have the veteran staff sort of key them in on what's about to happen in the changing rooms.
I call the people bus. Who think that we play dodgeball all day with the kids, right? And gaga all day with the kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what my wife thought when I first started working at camp, when she was toiling away in New York City.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, as you put it, I think one of the things is you need to create the mindset with them. They need to, during staff training, get the mindset of what it is to be a counselor, what it is to take care of children, what the purpose is of the work we're doing, right? We talk a lot and do completely different trainings about engagement, about staff engagement. And the number one reason people are engaged at work is because they feel that they're making a difference. So we need to make sure during training that our young counselors, experienced counselors, everybody understands the difference that they get to make by working at camp, because that's what helps them to be resilient, to get through these difficult times. My work has a purpose. Yeah, you know, I'm not a babysitter. That's not what we do when we work at camp. We're here to make a difference, to teach life skills, and to make an impact on the lives of these children in the 6, 8, 2, however many weeks we have with them. And we need to create that mindset through our training and through that training experience.
Oh, perfect. I'll put a little bow on that as I move off onto our friends at AM Skyer and plug them. You guys are AM Skyer fans, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Long time. Right.
And neighbors.
Yes.
Ross and Jen, neighbors of AM Skyer up there in beautiful Hawley, PA. For over 100 years, guys, right? Talk about a multi-generational thing. The family business is cranking. And they are different than most insurance companies. There's no doubt about it. You know, we talk a lot about all the differences. But today, I just want to mention that, like, on staff, who they have on call. You know, they have people like Ross and Jed that are consultant people that they whip into action. But then they have people like dermatologists and ophthalmologists. And they do telemedicine calls now. Like, they have dived into the public health arena big time to try to help support their camps with that. They have employment attorneys. They have PR people. It's just, you know, one phone call away, and it's all part of your bill, basically, when you have AM Skyr. And it's wonderful, because when you're a camp operator in the heat of the moment, you know, you really don't want to be opening up the Yellow Pages. Young people, that's a book that you used to go to find where. All right. So anyway, so AM Skyr, the leading insurance and strategic partner for many of the finest camps in America. Experience the AM Skyr difference at amskyr.com. Okay. And we're back. So, all right. So we were getting a little of the philosophical thing. Let's get a little nitty gritty now. Okay. So again, here we are coming out of this time that we've been so focused on people's feelings and all this kind of stuff and all, right? And you mentioned, you know, everybody needs to feel included and all that. 100%, right? But now we also need them to be able to have the skills to take care of other people's children, right? And you're getting these raw material people, right? Who mean well, accounting majors, right? You know, the star of the high school football team, right? The head cheerleader, like all this stuff. You know, where do we even start? You know, if we're starting, if you were a new camp director, and it's like, where's the 101 of how to start on this? You know, yes, there's purpose and all that. Like, there's that grand, you know, philosophy of all that, why we're here and all. But now, like, we only have, Ross, we only have 13 hours with these people.
So true.
I think that the first thing that's important for everybody to understand is that in the eyes of the campers, they are rock stars. And the campers are watching and listening to them all the time. And they need to lead by example. So I think that that's a real kind of basic number one place to start. Number two is what you talked about earlier, Andy, in terms of the importance of connection and, gee, the kids aren't listening to me. Well, they're not listening to you because you haven't listened to them for the last 3 weeks. And that the very first thing, the number one skill or the first skill I think that you need as a camp counselor is the ability to connect with your campers and have them like you. Because if they like you, they will behave better. And if they think that they can push your buttons and that's more fun, then they're going to push your buttons. So you're like a basic skill is ways to connect with your campers.
Proactive behavior management. That's what it really is.
You exactly. Know? Yeah. And when you talk about liking you, right? The thing that I always put forward to them is the balance between like and respect.
Yes.
Right. Because for a young person who has never taken care of children before, like could mean I'm going to put you on your shoulders and I'm going to let you drop F-bombs and we're going to have a great time in this group. Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to love me as you crap all over me. Right.
And that's where the role model piece comes in.
Right. Too, right? Oh, yes. Like, big part of that. Correct.
Understanding, you know, what your role really is and how to balance it. Right. It is definitely a balancing act. And I think part of it, too, is helping them understand the focus on communication, on how they communicate with children and with each other, quite honestly. As then we'll get into the co-counselor thing as a completely separate topic, but really the importance of communication and being an active listener with your campers, not being distracted. You can't be focusing in on your, you know, Apple Watch and who's sending you a text or you're pulling out a cell phone.
There's I'm very, very worried about Apple Watches this year.
No place for any of that at camp. That is a distraction. And people are not good multitaskers. We need to be focused in on one thing. And when we're camp counselors, it's focused in on our campers and what they're doing and the conversations we're having with them. We need to be listening to what they're telling us. We need to understand that they can't always communicate clearly. And we also need to think about how we check in and support our campers and each other as staff members. You know, really checking in and making sure things are going the way they should be going. As a counselor, understanding an activity might not be going exactly the way it should be. And you don't have to wait until the end of the day to fix it, or tomorrow, or the end of the summer. Fix things immediately. Make them work. And our staff needs to get that. And the best way to do it is through activities and helping them understand, oh, look, it's not going well. We can adjust this. We can fix this. You could do that with your campers too. Model for them through activities what they can do throughout the summer to continuously improve the experience.
And the kids really love it when you admit you made a mistake, because they make mistakes all the time. And then that makes you more human if you admit it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then I think the other thing is that it's important to involve the returning staff in training as well, because you don't want to do the same thing every year, because then your returning staff who are back, because obviously you think they're good, you think some of them are rock stars, you don't want them to be bored. You don't want them to check out, and you want to take advantage of their expertise. So first of all, we like to make sure we change the training every year so it's not the same thing. But the other thing that we like to do is to involve strong returning staff as an honor to be involved in helping get the new folks up to speed. And role play on difficult situations is one of the great ways to do that, because they're the ones who are on the front lines and they know what's worked today, not 20 years ago when you were a counselor, Andy, but they know what worked last summer. And it's important to take that level of expertise and involve them and have them share that with the new folks. And like I said, role play is a wonderful way to do that. All different kinds of role play, whether it's in the round, whether it's group role play, whether it's one-on-one role play, do it all different ways so that it keeps it interesting and you're finding ways to share that information.
So one of the biggest sort of Achilles heel that I find with a lot of our staff, especially the new staff, is that we tend to hire high achieving people who are not used to failure. They are used to getting straight A's. They're used to going to good colleges, like all that kind of stuff, right? You know, and now all of a sudden they're put into a situation taking care of other people's children, which is super, super challenging to say the least. And first of all, well, I think it's two things. The first thing is they don't want to ask for help because it's a sign of weakness. Yeah. And the second thing is they may think that this is just what it is. Right? Like, this may just be what this job is. This job just might really suck and be really hard. And this is what I agreed to. And I'm just going to sort of forge forward until I have a nervous breakdown. So I mean, this is more of a middle management thing where we're like, how do we get our middle management to see this happening? But for the frontline people, it's, you know, I have this wonderful handout from Michael Brandwein, you know, for the last 15 years about help. It's SOS. It's like, you know, stands for something, I'm sure. And it's tremendous. But this is something that I also think is a 101 thing of how do we get our staff to utilize all of these, you know, I mean, we have peer mentors in the division that are experienced staff. We have division leaders, assistant division leaders. I have counselors. I have social workers. Like, I have more support than I could ever have imagined I'd ever have at a camp. And yet I worry that our frontline people don't utilize them. And that's a huge part of training that I still struggle with.
So one of the in general, our training philosophy, and Roz mentioned this a little bit earlier, is to hear is to forget, to see is to remember, to do is to learn. And so we like to utilize activities that can then be referenced back during the summer in a shorthand kind of fashion. Remember, remember, open your fist or whatever it might be. And one of the activities that we like to do involves them having to solve a problem and giving them lifelines that help them, quote, lifelines that help them solve that problem, and a time limit to solve that problem. And generally speaking, we do it where they have like 5 lifelines. And without a doubt, almost universally, you get to the end of the time frame, and whether they've succeeded or not, they've used very few of those resources. And it's talking about why we don't like to ask for help. And as you said, Andy, it's a conversation with middle management for them to understand why their staff don't like to ask for help. And it's a conversation with the frontline staff that there's nothing wrong with asking for help. We've created this this bravado.
It's a stigma kind of thing to ask for help.
It's a stigma to ask for it because we've created this bravado culture where if you ask for help, it's a sign of weakness. And we need to eliminate that from the culture of our camps. And we need to create a culture where it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to ask for help. And we try to do that through activity so that we can continue to reinforce it by pointing back to that activity during the summer. The other thing kind of along those lines is something else. And that something else is...
it's coming back to him. Come on, Grandpa. You can do it.
Back to it later. I give him a nudge. Maybe he'll remember it.
I'm glad you're all having fun in my...
Can you give an example of one of the dilemmas that you give them? One of the situations?
So one of the activities that we like to use is called word circle cards, which we got from a fellow named Chris Cabert, who has all kinds of word circle puzzles on his blog. If you just go Google Dr. Chris Cabert, you'll find all kinds of stuff. And basically the idea is that everybody's got a Knicks card and you need to create a circle where everybody's card attaches to
everybody's the card has a word on it. And
they're attached to the next person
either through
a compound word like lineman or bookshelf or things like that. And we give them lifelines. Ask for a combination. Does this combination work? Ask a yes or no question. The goal is to make it challenging and to put a tight time limit on it. So, you know, you have 25 people, each person's got a card. You need to end up in a circle where every person's card connects to the next person's card, and you've got 5 minutes to do it. Go.
And they also have to agree as a group to ask for the lifeline.
Right.
So that's always an interesting thing, because you'll have somebody saying, I think we should get a lifeline. I think we should ask for a lifeline. And everybody else.
No, we could do this. We could do this.
Try and figure it out. And at the end of the day, when we debrief and reflect on it, everybody's laughing at themselves, really, because they recognize, you know, it's the experience of, I didn't have the courage to just ask for help, to just say, I don't know this, I need a little bit of help. And if they had asked for help along the way, they could have either gotten there a whole lot faster, or maybe they might not have gotten it solved at all. And they could have solved it if they had asked for help. And they are the ones who recognize this and come out and say this. And we will do this as an activity with leaders to get them to understand that this is how your staff feels. This may be how you feel. And this is also how your staff feels about not wanting to come to you, being afraid to ask you. So it's an activity that you can in turn do with your staff to help them recognize. So a lot of times the activities that we use are things that if we use them with leaders, they can use them with their staff. If we use them with staff, often they're things that they can do with their campers, especially the connection things.
That's wonderful.
And we also try to make the point that what was the downside of asking for this? Did I say you were going to have less time? Did I say you were going to have to go run 2 laps around camp? There's no downside of asking for help, and that we really need to come to understand that. And the other thing, which I was going to say a few minutes ago, which is now popped back.
All right.
Because that's kind of how this thing works, is that we also try to put forth the acronym FAIL. And I really don't know where we got this from years ago, but that FAIL is first attempt in learning. And don't look at failure as a downside. Look at failure as an opportunity to continue to get better, and don't be afraid of failing.
Wow. You guys are becoming acronym kings and queens, I have to say. You guys are just pulling them out of your pocket phenomenally. Oh, that's so wonderful. All right. We're going to put a bow on that one too, because that was a killer way to end that little segment. And I just want to talk about commercial recreation specialists, CRS. What can you say about them, Jed? Come on, you
love them.
Yes.
We worked with them.
Right. When you first bought Meadowbrook, I think you invested heavily into them.
All our boats.
Actually, when we first bought Meadowbrook, we had no money. And so the very first thing we did was we said, Rich, what's the cheapest thing you have that we can add that's fun? And we bought those power paddler boats that were great.
Power paddlers.
They were great partners of ours forever. We still see them at conferences all over the country, both camp conferences, park and rec conferences. We sat down with Ron at Tri-State and spoke with him about all the different fun things that they're doing. And we recommended them to many of our friends and clients.
And what's really interesting is when we first met them, we thought of them really as the supplier of our boats, you know, and then we learned, oh, they build pool slides. And then they built tremendous, beautiful pool slides for us. And now we've seen the things that they do at lakes, you know, when we go to day camps and resident camps, and really they're in water parks all around the world.
Yep.
They do, you know, from small to large, beautiful, beautiful setups in lakes for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that as global warming continues, they are wonderful when it comes to shade structures, water park stuff, you know, things you can bounce on, all different ways that we can stay in the shade and stay wet. It's CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialist. Check it out on their website, CRS4Rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. All right. So,
got all our friends as sponsors.
Yeah. You know, I try, you know, they only let me have two. Otherwise Campminder would be right here. Toss up. So, all right. So let's want to continue this. So Sam, what are the biggest challenges that you're having right now in figuring out how you're going to create your staff orientation this year?
Well, I think they solved it for me. Because of scheduling, my park police chief is doing an active shooter drill an hour into my training.
So that's your training. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah.
So I have a half hour to make a connection.
Well, you could do the child abuse talk during that half hour if you wanted to.
That's another great way to start your staff training.
Sam, I'd go heavy on the connection for that first half hour.
Absolutely. Right after that, we have Missing Child, where we get in the water and look for the CPR dummy on the bottom of the lake. So it's going to be a fun morning. I want to make a quick, fun connection, which the one you just said sounds good, but what are some really wow starts to camp training that you've seen or that you have fallen back on yourself that will just grab them first before they get into the scary part?
So I actually want to suggest that you have more than a half an hour, because what I really want to talk about first, and then Roz will talk about what happens when it actually starts.
By the way, isn't that such a day camp thing, Jed? We have a half hour. Right? That is just like only in day camps do you get that.
When we go to resident camps for staff training, well, you know, you need to finish around 12, 12:30. Lunch is around.
Then you basically have all morning. And
if you need a little more time, a little less time, don't worry about it.
If they need a break, it's okay.
Yeah. Day camp, okay. You have from 9:38 to 10:17.
Well, you have 22 minutes.
Exactly. But the point that I want to make, which is really relevant to day camps, is that if you're training, whatever time it's starting, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, you do not want to start at 10 o'clock. If it starts at 10 o'clock. You want to be ready to start at 9:30. So that as soon as the very first person gets there, there is something for them to do, whether it's coloring sheets or whether it's Mad Libs or whether it's Sudoku. You don't want them to get there, be bored, and take out their phone. And then as you start to get critical mass, you want an unofficial start activity. You want something that people are doing as soon as they start to arrive that gets them engaged, and it gives you additional training time. Because one of the key pieces that it allows you to make, one of the key points it allows you to make, is that you need to make every minute count at camp this summer. You don't want your kids sitting around bored. We didn't let you sit around bored. We had something for you to do as soon as you got here, and you don't want your kids to be sitting around this summer waiting for an activity to start, or if a special event ends early, or if you need to end a soccer game earlier because it's hot and you need to go under a tree and hang out for 5 minutes. Make every minute count, and that's what we just did with you as staff. Additionally, if you show up late or even on time, you've missed something. Because in the words of Andy Pritikin's favorite head coach, to be early is to be on time, to be on time is to be late, and to be late is to be unemployed. And so you need to be here. If we start at 10, that means you're here at 10 to 10. And we're rewarding you for being here at 10 to 10 because we're doing something, whether it's a no-tell game like Black Magic or Moon and Stars, or Is This a Key, or whether it's the start of the icebreaker that you can join into. For those people who don't provide transportation, like I'm sure you, Sam, where kids are coming through, you have a window where kids are showing up, right? Yep. We don't want them just sitting there as they get there. We want to be doing things as they're arriving. So we want to have activities that you can join into easily as you're arriving at camp. And we want to do the same exact things for our staff. So you have more, the good news is you have more than half an hour because you're going to start before the official start time. And then when it's really time to start, Roz is going to do
one of my very, very favorites that everybody has fun with. It's just handshake greetings. And I actually learned this way back when we owned and directed our camp. I learned it from Jim Kane, who, you know, always at every conference does great fun game sessions. Learned handshake greetings from Jim. And there are so many handshakes out there. You can change them up and, you know, and revise them. If you go online and look for handshakes, and there are so many different fun ones to do. But we do all these different handshakes, and they do them with a different partner. And each time they're introducing themselves to a partner, somebody they don't know. And then at the end of their handshake, they're looking each other in the eye and saying, "I will never forget your face." Now they move on to the next person and the next person. We do four different handshakes usually. And at the end, they need to go and do all four of those handshakes with their partners in the order we did them in. And then we talk about, you know, what happened here? You know, who laughed? Everybody laughed. And who were we laughing at? We were laughing at ourselves. And it's important to do that. It's important for us to be able to do that and for our campers to be able to do that. There's so many things everybody takes so seriously, and there's so much stress, whether it's from home, sports, school, friends, social media. But camp is a place where we can relax and have fun and feel safe and secure and taken care of. And then there's the whole, you know, these activities, these crazy handshakes come naturally to some of us, right? But not to everybody. So there's that stepping outside your comfort zone. And I always like to say and share with everyone, life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. And so think about that for yourself and this summer and what you're doing, because creating those crazy moments, that creates the memories, that creates the magic for the campers. It might not be something you're that comfortable with, but maybe you'll get comfortable with it. And then there's even the looking that person in the eye at the end of each handshake, and the fact that as staff members, we want to do that with our campers. And that might mean getting down on our knee to do it, right? But looking everybody in the eye and connecting with them. So right off the bat, everybody's moving around, everybody's active, everybody's meeting different people, they're doing silly things, they're loosening up. And now we move forward into the rest of our training with lots of little messages. As Jed said, when we do icebreakers, it's not just for the sake of mixing it up. It's what can we talk about and reflect on afterwards to create the teachable moment that they can take some messages forward in how they do what they do. That's one of my favorites.
You know, talking about comfort zone, I used to do donuts when they first got there. They're not going to eat in front of each other first day of camp training. Might as well save them until they're more comfortable with each other, and then they'll eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And then there's the standard. We love human bingo, kind of in the generic fashion. We're doing a training this coming Monday where it's small. There's only 17 participants, and we know about them. So if you have a smaller program and you really have the information about all of your staff, we're doing a human scavenger hunt version of human bingo, where it literally has specifics about the individuals who are going to be there. So if Sam was going to be there, I might say has four grandchildren, four or three.
Four, you were right.
Four grandchildren. And if Andy Pritikin's going to be there, I might say used to be a music teacher. Or went to Hofstra University. So I have things that are very specific that they need to find. And again, they're finding things that start conversations. Simple things, five-finger icebreakers. For your thumb, something you like. For your pointer finger, where you're headed. For your middle finger, something you don't like. For your ring finger, something you're committed to. For your pinky, a small fun fact about yourself. Candy connections. Everybody gets a couple of pieces of candy. And we have questions, and you pick the candy first, and then based on the kind of candy you picked, You share with somebody, and we match them up in all different ways. You share with somebody the answer to a question based on that piece of candy that you've picked. If it's a Starburst, a famous person you've met. If it's a York peppermint patty, something that refreshes you or invigorates you.
Another one that I love, it's called incorporations, and it's so simple, requires no props, and it's great with staff, and it's great for staff to do with campers. You just call out to the group, give a direction of incorporate according to, it could be maybe incorporate according to the month you were born in. And then everybody needs to look for who was born in the same month, and you need to link arms with that, with those people. So by the, you know, after 30 to 60 seconds, all your different birthday months are linked. And then you count to three and they jump up and down and shout their answer. Incorporate according to your favorite activity at camp. Now you've got people looking for Gaga, and you've got people looking for hockey, and you've got people looking for arts and crafts, and they're all incorporating. And you could do it with any number of different categories, but it gets people connected to, yeah, to people they have something in common.
And when I was a starting camp director and I didn't really know what I was doing with this kind of stuff, and it made me nervous, that is such an easy one. And it's just something that gets everybody moving so quickly, and it just gets the blood flowing, right?
You know, because that's the thing. You know what else it's great for too, is that, like, say it's a rainy day all of a sudden and everybody's got to get in from outside. And now you've got kids of many different ages under a pavilion waiting for direction of what happens next. Talk about making every minute count. A counselor can play this game in corporations with any age, any number of kids, and they can do it for a while until they know what happens next. So it's good to give them some sort of back pocket ideas of activities that they know they can pull out easily. And use, as you said, Andy, so easy to do for anybody, that incorporations one.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, when I was doing this 25 years ago, right, I had to be fortunate enough to be in a tri-state session with Jim Kane or Michael Brandwein or something to get it. Now we got the freaking internet, you know, like Jed mentioned that guy before. And by the way, all these shout out people that you've been giving and internet, you know, sites and stuff like that, please, if you could put them into an email that we can get into our show notes, that would be awesome for people, as well as the contact information and stuff for you, and maybe a little, Jen Ross kind of training sheet too, that we get people started on you guys. But you know, what you guys keep on saying sort of unintentionally, but yet intentionally, is that you're simulating camp, right? Like, so you're talking about this like Saturday morning at 9:30 in the morning, where it could be just like a death zone if you don't take it seriously, and everybody's just staring at their phones waiting for things to start, right? I mean, you would never do that on the first day at camp with all your kids. You'd have music. Everybody would be greeting you. It would be like this big, fun, awesome thing. Well, my God, why isn't it the same thing? And that is something that I've learned over the years from hearing people talk about it, that is a no-brainer. And you cannot just rely on your full-time staff to do that. That's where you can grab your veterans, right? At my camp, I call them peer leaders. They're like orientation leaders, and they're there early, and they're manning the tables for registration, and they are at the parking lot, right? Greeting people as they come in, just like you would be with the campers. Because again, like, here's your chance to model what we're going to try to do in 2 weeks on the first day of camp. Don't miss the opportunity.
And we say to our seasonal folks throughout orientation, you're the counselors, and our counselors are the campers, and you need to behave. You need to show them how to be counselors, because you're going to be their counselor through orientation. Mm-hmm. And the things you want them to do during the summer, you need to do them now. When you sit and you have lunch with them, you make sure that you're the one who goes up and gets the first round. Mm-hmm. You're the one who makes sure that everybody has anything special they need, or that we're cleaned up at the end.
It's just music to my ears. And I'll go a step further and say that the full-time staff, you guys are the middle management, right? So you need to be doing what you expect your middle management to be doing in the summer also. It should literally just be completely synchronized all the way down.
Yep. Absolutely. And great signage. And like you said, great music. You know, you want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable from the moment they drive through that gate.
Yep. Because you want them to show up at the next orientation.
On time, right?
Yeah. Or early.
That's
just show up, please. Please just show up.
And I'll also say, with respect to the show notes discussion, all the activities that we've talked about, we have one sheets on all of them. And whenever we're at conferences or whenever we go to clients, we share those with our clients so that they can then use them. So I will have the contact information in the show notes. And if anybody needs one sheets on anything that we talked about, we're happy to send those out.
Nice. Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you for being so generous.
Andy, you talked about you want them to show up for the next one. Just show up, right? And that's really important for your leaders, you know, those middle leaders, those supervisors, to understand their role in making sure that happens, right? We talked earlier about engagement, getting our staff engaged, right? Making sure they understand the difference they're going to make, the importance of their role, making sure they feel appreciated, right? Thank them throughout the day for being here, for helping, for participating, for focusing in and learning so much. Show appreciation in lots of ways during training and all summer long.
No, my full-time staff sometimes gets mad at me. Because they're like, why do you show so much more appreciation for these seasonal people that come in than you do outwardly, like outward appreciation, than you do for us? Like, well, you got a 401k, like these people, their commitment level, their buy-in level is so low. They're here. It's their summer job. It's their 8 weeks, right? Like, they could at any moment be like, you know what? Screw this. I don't need this, you know? So yeah, like, you really have to do all those things you just said, Roz. You know, you just got to be committed to that. You cannot take these people for granted.
You know what else you can't take for granted? I'm so glad you said that. You can't take for granted that camp is fun, right? We all know camp is fun. That's why everybody decides to work at camp. It's going to be a fun job, right? Mm. But not every minute of camp is fun. There's a lot of stress. There are a lot of intense moments. There are a lot of difficult, challenging moments. It's not all fun. And so as the leaders and those supervisors of different staff that are working throughout the summer, we need to make sure that we bring the fun. Even when the intensity happens, even when the difficult moments happen, we need to make sure that we're doing things that keep it fun for our staff, even in the midst of all of that. Even if it means as a leader that we step in and run an activity because it gives them a chance to participate like a camper with their kids instead of having to be the one who runs it. And it creates the fun. So we've got to make sure that, you know, that purpose and difference is there, the appreciation is there, the fun is there.
It has to correlate. It has to synchronize. You can't say it's going to be so much fun when it's so dry right now and boring, right? It's a disconnect, and it's not going to compute. And your frontline staff that's never been there before are going to think you're full of crap, right?
So you got to make your training fun. And the way to do that is activities and interaction and playing as part of staff training. I love it. I always loved it during, you know, an orientation day when I saw a division, you know, with their leader walking down the hill, singing a song or doing a dance or in a circle playing a game because, you know, they were waiting for the next session to start or they finished something earlier. It was after lunch or whatever. And they were making the downtime fun. They were making every minute count during training, the same way we want the staff to do it with the kids. And, you know, you said it yourself, Andy, it's so true about just making your staff training this moment of what the camp day looks like.
Yeah. Well, I am definitely going to be incorporating some Harry Belafonte into my staff training because my man just passed away, Mr. Kumbaya himself. So I'm going to be teaching the youngins about him. There's no doubt about it. All right. Well, I really appreciate your time and how generous you've been in sharing all your thoughts and ideas and your links in the show notes and such. You guys are one of our, you know, in the camp industry, you are one of our like prized possessions. And we are so glad to have you guys spreading your sunshine and your knowledge and your wisdom, that you learned. You're a great story and, keep it going, please. All right. All right. So, anyway, you could go to daycamppodcast.com to find all that stuff out. We want to thank the GoCamp Pro team and AM Skyer and Commercial Recreation Specialist for allowing us to bring this podcast to you. If you like what you hear, you should certainly subscribe. Thanks for listening and making yourself a better GoCamp Pro. We'll be back in a couple weeks. And I think the last pod we're going to do is going to be a tribute to Doug Pierce. And I got Jay Jacobs and another person lined up. And we're going to talk about one of the greatest day camp directors of all time who just recently passed away. So we'll see you real soon on the Day Camp Podcast. Bye-bye.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, a masterclass, from the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, at a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, we can encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their brilliant ideas and make the camp industry better. Thanks very much.